Tonight, could we turn to Revelation chapter 20, please? Revelation chapter 20, and we're starting to read at the verse 11. Revelation chapter 20 and the verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And our sermon tonight is found over in Amos chapter 4 and the verse 12. Amos 4 and the verse 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And I want to take that little phrase tonight, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. And with God's word open, could we ask the Lord to bless the preaching of his word. Our Father, we thank thee for the hymns of Zion that we've been singing. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Lord, you know the hearts of the people in this meeting tonight. You know those that are thine. Lord, you know those that are washed in the blood. Lord, you know those who are maybe in a backslidden state. And Lord, you know those who are not saved. Oh, speak loudly through your word tonight. We thank thee that salvation is not of man. Salvation is of the Lord. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'll speak. Speak loudly, we pray. Hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. For we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. The children of Israel had separated from their God. This was a new generation that did not know their God. They didn't know how the God of heaven had delivered their forefathers from Egypt. They didn't know how the God of heaven had brought them across the sea, had brought them through the desert, had fought for them, had provided for them, and had looked after them. This was a new generation that had turned from God. And God has come to his servant, the prophet Amos. And he says to Amos, I am bringing judgment on my people, Israel. And I want you to tell them to prepare to meet their God. And you know, my friend, tonight as I look across Ulster, as I look across Great Britain, we could say tonight, Ulster, Great Britain, prepare to meet thy God. Because our land has turned away from God. Like the children of Israel, they were worshipping other gods. They had turned away from the God of heaven. And you know, as we look across our land tonight, we can see sin abounding in every hand. But you know, thank God, the old book says, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Prepare to meet thy God. I would say to you, my friend, in this meeting without Christ, prepare to meet thy God. And there's three simple things I want to look at very quickly tonight in preparing to meet God. First of all, I want you to notice, to prepare to meet God, you must prepare to meet him personally. You need to prepare to meet him personally. The world would, someone would say, Tommy, how can I meet God personally? The world would tell us we would have to go to some theologian to find out how we meet God personally. The world would tell us we would have to go to some great biblical institution to find out how to meet God personally. The word would tell us we would need to go to some Bible expositor to show us how to meet God personally. But you know, my friend, I have a book in my hand, and it's God's precious book. We don't need to go to a Bible expositor. We don't need to go to some great theologian. We just need to go to John 14 and 6, and we find the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to get saved tonight, if you want to prepare to meet God personally, you must come through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't depend on somebody else's salvation. You can't depend on your mother's salvation. You can't depend on your husband's, your wife's, your son's, any relative. You can't depend on anyone's salvation. You must come personally, yourself. This morning we were talking about that great general who came, Naaman. And he had that awful disease called leprosy. And you know the story, how he was told to go to God's servant. And God's servant told him he had to go into the River Jordan and dip 7 times. But of course, he didn't want to come God's way. He wanted to get deliverance his own way. And he said, is not the rivers Abana and Pharpar, rivers in Syria, cleaner than this old dirty Jordan? Do I have to go into this old river? He didn't want to go God's way. He wanted to go his way. And you know, my friend, tonight, that great general had many servants. He had many men who would have gladly went into that river for him so that he would be healed. But God's message was that he had to go personally into that river. And the Bible tells us once he went into the river and dipped the 7 times God's way, he came out and his flesh was like a child's flesh. He had to come personally God's way. And my friend, tonight, for you to prepare to meet God, you need to come personally God's way. You know, if you had a terrible disease in your life, and I said to you, I know an antidote that can save your life from this awful disease, you wouldn't send someone else to see that doctor. You would go personally yourself. And you know, my friend, the Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. You have an awful disease in your life, and it's called sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And you know, I have an antidote tonight for that sin in your life. And it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary shed his precious blood that you might be saved. And all you have to do is come to the Savior, admit you're a sinner, you're a lost sinner, that you need washed in that precious blood. And my friend, he'll wash you and cleanse you from your sin. You know, I have to say to you tonight, if you don't come and meet the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, someday you'll meet him as your personal judge. We read Revelation 20 tonight. And what a chapter it is. A great white throne. And who comes to this great white throne? All the people who have had their sins dealt with under the precious blood. In other words, men and women who have died in their sin, and they come before that great white throne. And what does that great white throne represent? It represents the justice of God. The righteous justice of God is that great white throne. And I wonder tonight, as I look across this congregation, am I looking at someone who will have to stand at that great white throne and hear that verse at the very end? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, tonight, you can escape that great white throne judgment by coming and trusting the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. There was a young man, and he was riding his bicycle one day through a town. And it was a town where there was a track where a tram would come along. And as he was riding his bicycle got caught in the track. This gentleman was walking along and he noticed a tram coming. And the young man never noticed the tram. The man grabbed the young man and pulled him to safety. And of course the tram wrecked the bicycle. That young man had got into trouble a couple of days before. And he had to attend court the next day. As he sat in the court waiting for the judge to come, the judge came and sat and listened to all the argument, and the young man was found guilty. The judge told the young man to stand to his feet, and he recognized the young man immediately. It was the young man he had plucked safely. And he looked at the young man and he says, "Young man, yesterday I was your savior, but today I'm your judge. Yesterday I was your savior. I plucked you from danger, but today I'm your judge, and I have to judge what's going to happen to you." And my friend, tonight, without Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ could be your savior tonight. But if you walk out the door rejecting him, tomorrow he could be your judge. You know, in some courts of our land, you don't have to stand at the throne, or you don't have to stand at the judgment bar. You can send a barrister, or you can send a solicitor who will plead your cause. But you know, at this great white throne, you will stand there. And the Bible tells us that the books will be opened. And what are these books? There are the things that you've done in your life. The sins that you thought that would never rise again will be judged at that great white throne. Oh, what an awful place it will be. And to hear that, "Depart from me and cast into the lake of fire." You know, my friend, it will be a personal sentence. But you know, sadly and all, it'll be a personal hell forever. Oh, my friend, tonight I would plead with you, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet him personally. You need to come personally to the Lord Jesus. But you know, secondly, you need to prepare properly. You need to prepare properly. I'm sure if we went into Market Hill tonight, or we went into Tandragee and went round the doors and asked people what they were depending on their soul salvation to get into heaven, those who believe in heaven, this would be some of the answers. "I was baptized into the church when I was an infant. I'm as good as any person. I attend church every day. I'm a good person. I help many people. God is a loving God. He'll not punish me. I'm an elder in the church. I'm a worker in the church." My friend, if you're depending on any of these things for your salvation, listen to what God's word says. In Acts 4 and 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." Oh yes, it's good to be a good person. Yes, it's good to attend church. Yes, it's good to give things to the church. But if you're depending on any of these things for your soul salvation, my friend, you're lost. I remember when I was a young man, just coming 15 years of age, ready to leave Sunday school. My old Sunday school teacher said, "Tommy, you're the only one in my class that hasn't come to the Savior. And you know, if the Lord would come again, I would have a class with one person missing." And I said to him, "Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as anybody. I don't need to be this saved that you're talking about. I go to Bible school. I'm in the boys' brigade. I go to the Bible class. I've gone to children's meetings." He lifted the Bible to me and he said, "Tommy, can I show you what God thinks of you?" And he showed me what God says, "All my righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of a just God. And I praise God for that old man of God who showed me if I depended on my good works, if I depended on going to church, I wouldn't have been standing in this pulpit tonight preaching. I could have been in a crisis eternity. Oh, my friend, tonight, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You need to come properly. The great Charles Haddon Spurgeon was preaching in his church one night, and this young maid who worked for one of the great ladies in London came to the meeting one night. This young maid called Molly. And that night, the great Spurgeon said, "Look, after I finish preaching, I'll be in my study. Anyone who wants to come about salvation, come and speak, and I'll only be too glad to speak to you." Molly came in, and she said to the great preacher how she would love to be saved. And he had the joy of pointing Molly to the Saviour. Molly went back to that great house in London, and the lady in question watched Molly for many months, and she saw a great change in this young girl's life. So she said, "I must go and hear this man Spurgeon preach and what happened to Molly." So after the meeting was over, Spurgeon again said, "Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone wants to speak to me about salvation, come into my room." He was sitting behind his desk, and the lady in question walked in. Spurgeon saw her immediately, recognized her, and said, "Oh, lady so-and-so, it's good to see you. How can I help you?" And she told the story, how Molly had got saved, and she saw a change in Molly's life. And she said, "Mr. Spurgeon, can I have the same that Molly had?" And Spurgeon said, "Yes, dear, you can have the same salvation that Molly had." But she looked at Spurgeon and she said, "But do I need to come the same way that Molly came? Do I have to admit that I'm a sinner? Can I not come some other way?" And Spurgeon said, "Dear, we all have to come the same way." And she looked at Spurgeon and she says, "Well, if I have to come Molly's way, I'll not come at all." And she walked out the door. What was happening? Old pride had got up. And you know, my friend, pride damns more souls in hell. Men and women don't want to realize they're a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And I'm pointing a finger at myself. That was me. I said to my old Sunday school teacher, "I'm as good as anybody. I don't want to come God's way. I want to come my way." But praise God, that old Sunday school teacher showed me that I needed to come properly to the Lord Jesus. You know, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Politically, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Socially, he was a master in Israel. And religiously, he was a model Pharisee. He knew everything that there was about the Jewish religion. But you know, he realized that there was something missing in his life. And the Bible tells us that he came to the Lord Jesus at night. Now, some people say that he came at night because he didn't want to be seen. I don't believe that at all. I believe he came because he wanted to have a one-to-one with the Savior. Because if you read the scriptures, the Lord Jesus during the day was thronged with many people. And this ruler wanted to have a word with the Savior. And the Savior knew immediately what he wanted. And he said to him, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." And what did Nicodemus say? "How can I be born again? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time to be born?" The Lord Jesus said, "Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." In other words, he was saying, "I'm not talking about the physical birth, I'm talking about the spiritual birth." And praise God, we read later on in the scriptures that this dear man became a disciple of the Lord, because we read he was one of the ones that took the body of Christ off the cross and laid it in the tomb. You know, Acts 3 and 19 tells us, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. The old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, my friend, today, man and woman lost in sin needs a way. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way. Men and women lost in sin needs the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. Men and women lost in sin needs life. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the life. My friend, can I ask you a question tonight? Are you under the blood? When God looks from heaven, can he see his son's blood in your heart? You know, under the blood, we read in Ephesians, we have redemption. Under the blood, we read in Romans, we are saved from wrath of God. Under the blood, in Colossians, we read we are reconciled to God. Under the blood, in 1 John, our sins are forgiven. Under the blood, we are justified. We read that in Romans. In Ephesians, under the blood, we're brought nigh to God. But praise God, in John 6, under the blood, we have eternal life. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. Oh, my friend, tonight you need to prepare to meet God. You need to prepare to meet him personally. You need to prepare to meet him properly. But last of all, you need to prepare to meet him promptly. You need to prepare to meet him promptly. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 tells us, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My daughter-in-law, her uncle is Pastor Harvey Shaw, a well-known gospel preacher and a great friend of Dr. Paisley. And Pastor Shaw told me one night that in his early ministry, he was preaching in a gospel mission. And night after night, there was young men sitting on the back seat, about six of them all together. And night after night, one of them got saved. And it came to near the last night, and there was one young man not saved. The night, that was a Thursday night, and the young man said, look, tomorrow night we're bringing our friend and we're praying that the Lord will save him. We have all got saved. So Pastor Shaw said, look, come in, we'll have a time of prayer for him. That night Pastor Shaw preached on, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. He also noticed the young man also made a beeline out the door. So after he had finished preaching, he walked down to the door and he was closing the meeting in prayer. As he was closing in prayer, he felt something sweeping past him. And it was a young man. The other young men were in tears. They said, you know, and Pastor Shaw said, well, let's have a time of prayer. The Lord could still deal with them. Those young men left heartbroken. Pastor Shaw went into his car and was driving down the road. As he was driving down the road, the red torch was shining, and it was a police sergeant. And he came over and he recognized Pastor Shaw. And he said, Pastor Shaw, there's been an accident here. A car is going over the ditch. And he said, I'm just going down. Pastor Shaw said, look, sergeant, can I go down with you in case someone needs prayed for? And he said, certainly, come with me. And Pastor Shaw says, as he walked down, they shone the torch into the car. And it was a young man who ran out the door, and he was into eternity. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. My friend, there are only two ways. One, the broad way that leads to destruction, and one, the narrow that leads to life. There are only two classes of people in the world today, the believer and the unbeliever. There are only two deaths, the death of the righteous and the death of the wicked. And there are only two places, one of which you will go to, either heaven or a Christless hell? Oh, what will it be tonight? My friend, tonight you can escape that great white throne by coming to the Saviour. I close with this little story I read in a little book. It told about a great woman in the centre of London, and she was walking to go to a ball this night. And as she was walking, a gospel preacher approached her, and he said, "Dear, are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Saviour? Are you washed in the blood?" Now, this lady was very, very religious, and she took this as a great insult, and she just walked on and went in to this great ball. But you know, she couldn't get it out of her mind. Are you washed in the blood? Are you saved? Do you know the Saviour? And she didn't enjoy the ball at all. She couldn't wait to get home, and she went straight to bed. But she couldn't sleep, because the same thing came over and over in her mind. The next morning she got up, and she found out where the preacher lived. And she went round to the preacher and told the story. And the preacher says, "Dear, I know what's wrong with you. You're under deep conviction. The Lord wants you to be saved." But she said, "Mr. Preacher, I don't know how to get saved." And the preacher looked at her and he says, "Dear, just come as you are. Come as you are." That lady went home, got down beside her chair, and she just came as she was. She recognized and she said, "Lord, I'm a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in your blood." And that lady got up from her knees, a lady called Charlotte Elliott, and she wrote one of the most beautiful hymns that God has used in many missions. She wrote, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." My friend, prepare to meet God personally. Prepare to meet him properly. Prepare to meet him promptly.